Hello, Cinnabar Moss, or any kind of moth you'd like to be. Welcome to the Writer's Triangle, Cinnabar Moss podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we are here with Ash, the winner of the 2023 Cinnabar Moth Collections Prize for Short Storytelling. Congratulations on your win. How are you doing today, Ash?
I'm good. I'm great. Fantastic.
Wonderful to hear. How does it feel to be the winner of the prize for short storytelling?
It's fun. Like, it's cool. Like, it's really always a lot of fun to, like, oh, you know, I did this short story without, like, anticipating any kind of, like, acclaim or, like, for it or anything. You know, it was just a, oh, okay, cool. Yay.
Okay. So, for you, it was just nice.
Yeah, nice. You know, because, like, you never, like, I think you have to come out from the very, like, realistic perspective. It's like, oh, never expect to win an award so that when you do, it's a good time. You're never disappointed, always enthusiastic.
That makes sense. You know, if you're not expecting and it happens, always a good thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So what was your first thought when you were told that you won?
Oh, it was just like, yay! Yay! Oh, cool, great. Like, it's very, like, it's one of those things where it's hard to, like, you're always, I'm very much the kind of person who it's like, when I get a win, so to speak, it's like, cool, I'm excited, great, now I need the next one. I like to get excited about things, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I'm pragmatic. I got this. This is great. I can add this to my resume, but now I got to shoot for the next thing. You know, don't be complacent.
Okay. So for you, it's just it's a bit of a boost as you continue along.
Right. Path. So it's like really exciting. It's a lot of fun. And it's like, oh, you're very proud of yourself, but you also don't want that to get in the way of like, okay, well now what's the next thing? Let's shoot for the next thing. Let's use that energy and keep moving forward.
I think that's always a good way to view it. Is it's a positive thing that we can use to motivate ourselves to keep along our path.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, can you tell us a little bit about your short story writing process?
So what's fun about short stories for me is so like when I'm writing longer fiction, I'm outlining, scene to scene, moment to moment, so I'll make sure I don't miss anything. I don't have any plot holes. With short stories, it kind of just starts with a concept, and then I just kind of write. It's like I have a general idea, like, oh, here's the concept. Excuse me. Here's the concept. I'll start writing, and then about 1,000 words in, I'll be like, oh, okay, this is how the story should end. This is where the story should go. Because that first 1,000 words gives me the feel for the idea of the story and like what I think is happening. And then the next 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 are the actual story. And so I'm like, okay, how I want this to end? Okay, let me get there. So for short stories for me, it's a very just like, let me slam some things at the wall, see what fits, and then go back and make it all kind of adhere and make sure and go back and edit it to like flow a lot better. But since short stories are very, like, not what happens in a short story, it's really easy to just be like, okay, this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, and that's going to be the end. And so you don't have to do – I don't personally have to do a whole lot of excessive outlining work ahead of time. I can hold the story in my head a little better and then just move forward on the concept. And each short story definitely has a tonal goal. Like, oh, I want this story to be written in first person present tense, so I want it to have this feeling to it. Or I want this story to evoke this specific feeling. And so each story has a tonal goal to it that speaks to the overall structure.
Okay, so For your short story process, as opposed to your long form work,
right,
it's kind of just you have this base core concept,
right?
And then you just go from there, see what happens.
Right. It's very exploratory. Because usually I'm going for a tonal feel. Like, hey, I want this to have this specific tone. And that will tend to lead to the actual, like, plot structure.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It builds a direction for itself that you then right. just kind of fill in.
Right.
And then afterwards you spruce it up.
Exactly. You go back, you edit, and go, oh, okay, bleh. All right, cool. Like a lot of my short stories start with like what if statements. Like, what if this happened? What if this? What if that? And sometimes I'm just like bored and I'll actually like look at like prompt generators and be like, oh, okay. But then like go completely off the rails with it. Like, but yeah, so it can start from kind of anywhere.
I think prompt generators can be kind of fun because they can spawn completely, like you start off with the prompt and then when you look at your final story and you look at the prompts, like the final story, they're kind of related, I guess.
They're kind of sort of there, sort of after a fact. But yeah, but then at the same time, they're all completely different.
Right. So do you often draw inspiration from your own life for your work? Or
I yes and no. So like, I feel like a lot of my work, because I work in sci-fi and fantasy primarily, and like a little bit of horror, what tends to happen for me is like it's the it's more of like a, with like the sci-fi and fantasy in particular, I won't say it's like my own life necessarily. Like I definitely pull things from like my own life and be like, oh yeah, this is an experience I had. But a lot of it is also just like, a lot of it tends to be more, I read something and I thought it was stupid and I would have done this differently. Like, oh, I was introduced to this story idea and I liked the concept of it, but I felt like it was very poorly executed and very, very silly. And I'm like, oh, I could totally have done better. And so like I take the concept and go from there. So it's less a own life experiences and more of a what I've consumed life experience, if that makes sense.
Okay, so it's a matter of you get exposed to these very interesting and cool concepts, and you're like, I think I could do a really cool execution of this.
Right, or like, or I like this, but I want to do the opposite. Like, oh man, what if that was the case, but it was the opposite? I also have dreams. I have really weird dreams. It's all wake up and be like, that was a cool dream. What happened? Hold on, what happened? And then like it ends up being something.
That's interesting. I haven't spoken with somebody who said that they draw writing inspiration from their dreams before.
It's usually not like a one-for-one kind of thing, but like I'll have a dream and there'll be some aspect of that dream where I'm like, that's kind of cool. Where'd that come from? I don't know. I can, and like a lot of times it take a while to like actually work it through, but like
it's just, it plants the seed in your mind.
Right, exactly.
That makes sense. And so with your short story writing and your work, do you have an idea of kind of a direction? Do you have an overall direction with your body of work that you go for? Or
I'm definitely trying to do a lot more. So like I've written primarily short fiction at this point, and I've done a lot of games. I've written a lot of games. And I'd like to move away from those. I still like writing short stories. So I still kind of have those in the back burner. I just kind of write them and then submit them as needed, or like, you know, whatever, I get requests for them or whatever. But I'm really trying to move kind of back into like traditional novels. And like, cause that was where I started a long time ago. Was trying to write novels and not doing great. I had to kind of learn to write long form. And I just hadn't, I finally have. And so now I'm trying to move back into it where I can write a book and put it out and people will read it. It'll be great.
Okay, so your current direction that you're trying to get to is getting back, actually moving away from the short storytelling and back to novel writing.
Yeah, like I still want to keep doing short stories because those are like, fun. And I just kind of, I try to like keep writing them, you know, in the background of other things. But yeah. Moving back into more novels.
Okay. That makes sense. It's kind of just a matter of focus, so to speak.
Right. Right. Cause it's like, you only have so much bandwidth. And so it's where do you want to put the most energy?
So for your current writing so far, do you have an idea of writing awards that you would be super excited to win? I know you mentioned before that's kind of a thing where you don't have an expectation for it, but do you have ones that you'd be like, that's really nice?
Oh, absolutely. Like long term, like my goal, like long term is I'm shooting for that Nebula or that Hugo. Because like those are like the big sci-fi and fantasy writing awards, and like I would die, like that would be like that would be it. I want to get at least nominated, you know. That would be basically like I would feel as though I was being recognized like as a mainstream writer if I was to at least be in the running for those that level of award. Like oh yeah, people see me, I exist. You've seen my face, kind of thing. You've seen my writing, so to speak.
So you'd feel like it'd be a stamp saying you've made it into the eye of the mainstream.
Yeah, basically. Like not like it's funny because like those kinds of awards, it's hard to know how much they actually like, because like they're consistently good books. Now, there's obviously books who have not won Hugos and Nebulas that are just as good as the Hugo and Nebula winners. But, like, it's definitely one of those things of, like, okay, people see you now.
I definitely agree. If you've been nominated, then that shows that people enjoyed your work.
Right.
Whether it ends up being finally chosen is a different matter. That's
right,
the long process.
Right, right. I mean, Chuck Tingle's been nominated for like two Hugos at this point, and so that's good company as far as I'm concerned.
And so, going back to your writing process a little bit,
yes,
would you say that there's something a bit surprising about your process with writing, or different than what people might expect?
You know what was funny is I think it was actually back with something one of the Cinnabar Moth people. I had mentioned something in a tweet somewhere about like how sometimes with short stories I just kind of throw stuff on the page, and I think one of the actual Cinnabar Moth people, one of y'all, was like, oh, that's so surprising because of it all flows together so smoothly. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm good at editing. Like I'm good at editing. I don't know. Like it's, I feel like I don't do things in a particularly different way than anybody else. Like pantsers versus plotters is just a thing. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like I do anything particularly like different than anybody else. I just do it. You know, I just do the things other people do.
Okay. So you're not doing anything out of the like sort of expected writing process, so to speak.
I don't think so. Like I don't feel as though I'm doing something different outside the writing process. There's the average, oh, this is just how people write. Yeah.
Well, that's fair. I think that really good writing can come. I mean, it's the formulas for a reason, right?
Right, exactly.
And there are methods and processes for a reason.
Right.
I think if it works, I mean, it clearly does. We appreciate your work here, Cinnabar Moth. We enjoy it. So we have no complaints.
Right.
I want to ask you, do you have any advice you would give to aspiring authors or aspiring writers, either short storytelling or even long form?
It just like what you write. It's. If you try to, there's two like approaches to writing. There's writing to trend, and then there's writing for yourself. And you can write to trend. Nothing stops you from writing to trend. Like, oh, this is really popular right now, I'm going to write about that. But like long term, is that sustainable? Is that going to make you happy? Is that going to be something that you can look back on and enjoy? And you can go both directions. There's nothing inherently wrong with being a two trend writer. Like there's still talent there involved. But like, what do you want to be? Do you want to be the person who writes to trend and then has to keep up with trends and has to go through that process, which again is perfectly fine. Like that's not nothing wrong with that. It's just like, it's a different approach to writing. Or do you want to be the kind of writer who writes what they want and just hope it gets picked up? Because that's the two sides of the coin. Writing to trend is easier marketing, but writing what you want means you have to find your people. Pick one. Like, who do you want to be and be happy with that?
Okay, so it's your advice would be to choose your lane.
Choose your lane. And you can definitely go back and forth. Like there's definitely you can change your mind halfway through and switch lanes. But just like be aware, like there's not a right or wrong way to be a writer. Just know what you're doing and like know what you're in for.
And be happy with it.
Like I met a writer at a conference recently. Who was very upfront about the fact that she had written her books to trend. She's like, yeah, you know, this is really big this year. So I turned these four books out in a year and I couldn't do that. That would not be something I could physically do physically. Like, I don't think I could write four, but I can write pretty fast. When it works, I can write fairly fast. I couldn't write four full length novels in a year, but she was very aware of the fact that, oh, I'm commercially writing. You know, she was very aware of the fact that the art she was creating wasn't necessarily like, it was commercial art, which is fine. Oh my God, it's fine. Like that's perfect. But she was happy with that. She was like, yeah, I know what I'm writing. I know I'm still enjoying it. I know that it's still good. I just know that like I'm writing to trend and that's all there is to it. And I'm like, cool, great. But she was happy with what she was doing. Me, I would not be happy doing that.
Both sides are good.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I agree with you. If you're happy with what you're writing, you can keep on going down that path and honing your craft. You know,
right, exactly.
Continue to hone your craft as you do it. But enjoy your process. Mm-hmm. So speaking of personal processes and personal styles, How would you describe your writing style?
I feel like I have a very strong voice. As far as like me personally, I feel like you can tell when I've written something. Even if the voice is different between pieces, it's like, oh yeah, no, I wrote that. And so I also feel like I have my own personal voice. It's a really strong, it's as part of my style. So I have a very strong voice. And then, pardon me, I'm hiccuping a lot for some reason. But I feel like a lot of my, themes, a lot of my themes, I feel like I do this a lot. I go back and look at things. Is one of my, like, one of the things I like is I like stories about very ordinary people who have been put in extraordinary circumstances, but they themselves are very ordinary. I don't like writing hero stories. I don't like writing, I'm the chosen one kind of stories, or like, oh, I'm particularly strong and brave and whatever. Or like, I like writing stories about normal people where something stupid or something big or something strange happens around them. And then they're having to deal with that circumstance. And that I like dealing with mysteries. Like, I feel like my style definitely leans on, there is something happening and we need to figure out what that happening is. is pretty popular. I feel like I'm not describing my writing style very well. I love including mysteries. I love a style that embraces that the things we perceive may not be what they actually are. Like, I feel like I do that a lot, where it's like, it's embracing like, hey, this is how I perceive the world, and guess what? Something else is actually happening, or there's another element on top of it that I didn't know about. And so a style that sort of plays into that, of a limited understanding of the universe, of experiencing the universe from a certain person's perspective and not outside that perspective, and really honing in on how a character feels about a situation, as opposed to how I feel about situations as a writer or as an author, like making sure it's a very narrow view of what's happening in the universe. So that surprising element can come in and it's like, oh my God, where'd that come from?
Okay. I think I have a sense.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty clear, actually. It's at least to me, it seems clear.
Right.
Characters, you know, who are themselves small in a sense.
Right.
Dust into very large situations.
Right. And then the perception of that situation being limited to what the character can experience.
Right.
And like from their perspective, I like to call it like, I feel like I call my writing, my point of view style, character third person, where it's like, it's technically, I think, limited third person. But I mean, it's like I'm writing as though the character was telling the story, but not necessarily in first person. So if the character is a very sarcastic, very sardonic, the writing is going to come through a little more like that in the outside form, in the narration and the descriptions. But if they're a little more prim, a little more proper, then the writing is going to reflect that. So meshing the actual like diction and semantics of the writing with how the character experiences the universe.
Okay, that's an interesting way of describing it.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard before. Because I've definitely written, or read rather, not written, but read work like that where it's a very limited scale and experienced it. But honestly, it's hard to describe that way.
Yeah.
I think it's, I personally enjoy it and have enjoyed your work. I want to ask you, you mentioned earlier that you're moving away, or mm-hmm. modestly moving away, but focusing more on long-form writing mm-hmm. instead of short storytelling.
Right.
Do you feel that short storytelling doesn't match your writing style as well, or is there a reason for that preference?
It's not so much that. So what it is I, at my core, am a world builder. I like building worlds and like putting different species together and like seeing what happens. And so it's really hard to fully, like a couple of my short stories like actually exist in the same universe. Several of my short stories over the years exist in the same universe. You wouldn't know it because they're very disparate, but like it's just very hard to really explore all those avenues in a short story. Like short stories, you're getting little snapshots, and it can exist in a big world and it can exist in a very complex world, but you're really only getting a snapshot. And so what I feel like novels allow you to do, and like novel series in particular, is allow you more time to actually live in that world, experience that world, see what that world looks like. So it's not so much, I actually prefer short form writing. I really, like as far as the actual physicality of it, like I love putting together like very short pieces, and I love the freedom of being able to come up with little like quick worlds and quick scenarios and quick universes. That short story let me do. But at the same time, I have this big, beautiful universe I've been working on for 30 years. And I'm only ever going to get to really explore it with longer form writing and novels and novel series and serials and that kind of thing.
Okay, so you prefer the short story and then kind of enjoy that more. But in the end, because of the expanse that you're building and the depth of world building that you get into,
Right.
It just is more suited towards long form writing to be able to explore that properly.
Exactly. Like, I've had to basically learn how to write long. Because short stories, I have, because short stories come easy. Short stories, I'm just like, bam, 5,000 words, done, here it is. 3,000 words, bam, done, here it is. Yeah, but with like long form, I've had to like teach myself how to actually plot and be like, oh my God, what happens next? I have to actually have to give them something to do. They can't just exist. Yeah, but so it's like, I definitely, short stories come way more naturally. But yeah, novels are the only place where I'm ever going to be able to actually like fully explore all the stuff I feel is working to.
And because you want to explore, you're stuck with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, that's totally fair.
So you learn to love it. What you do is you learn to love it.
Of course. And I think that, you know, part of why you're doing it as well is the fact that you want to explore these things. So this is the medium that allows it.
Right, exactly.
So with you going through the short story as well as the long form and having these various forms of writing and these various topics that you cover, what do you hope people get out of your work once they read, for example, an Ash Thurman short story?
Definitely, like, this idea of like, oh, I love people to be delighted, to be forced to like, oh my gosh, wow, I didn't see that ending coming. That's amazing. Or like having to, I really love people to be able to like read a story and then through that story, then reevaluate their own perception of something or other. Or like have that moment of like, oh, I came into this with a certain idea that this would happen and then that didn't happen. I have to reconsider how I approach narratives. You know, a surprise is what I'd always like to like. Surprise and then just like a delight, surprise, and then like thinking. Like, I love a book or a short story where afterward I think about it all the time. Where I come back and I'm like, man, that thing I think about, that's what I want. I want something to be left behind. That you're not just reading it and you move on. But like something gets left behind when you read it, whatever that happens to be.
Yeah, so it's kind of leaving an impression on someone.
Yes. Leaving an impression and then, yeah. And then, like, just sinking your teeth in there a little bit.
Having enough substance where they can experience it beyond just, I read a book. It was nice.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely think there are quite a few stories where I read it and I was like, that's a good book. It was well written. And then it's gone.
Right. I definitely think in the long, especially with like when it comes to like long form fiction, because you have more time to sit with characters. Like I would hope that one day someone would like name a pet after one of my characters. Like that's the level of like, oh man, I really like this character. I think about this character a lot. I got a new cat. I'm naming my cat after this character. Like that level of like, I wouldn't necessarily like fandom or devotion. But like that level of, oh, I connected with this so much that this character is on my mind. I think about this character all the time to the point where it's like, oh, yeah, there's a book, like one of my favorite books. I got a new puppet, got a new dragon puppet. And the instant I got this new dragon puppet, I was like, oh, what am I going to name it? Oh, I'm naming after this character from this book because it's perfect. That's what I want.
Yeah, I can actually really connect with that because I... Yeah. My first email actually was named after, I put it as the name of a character that I really liked from a book that I had read.
Right.
And a lot of how I interacted with people for my online persona ended up being how that character acted because I thought they were really cool. I was really young. Right. I was like 13 at the time.
Yeah, but still, it's like... It's like, yeah, it's that thing of like, oh man, this really like stuck with me.
Right. And even now I can remember the character, how they acted, and that story is going to probably sit with me for my entire life.
Yep. Yeah.
And so for your work, do you have authors or stories that had that kind of impression on you that maybe inspired your own work
and so your own desire to write this way? Yeah. So I could list them. Shoot. Like I grew up reading a lot of classic sci-fi and fantasy. I read so much like Ray Bradbury was like my guy. Like I've read every single short story of his, like literally ever. And it's funny because like he isn't necessarily like the coolest person. Like he's all right as like a person. But there's something about his short stories. Like it's funny because he has a very Bradbury is very funny to me because he has a very anti-technology focus in the vast majority of his writing. It's very anti-technology. It's very like, oh my God, horrible things are going to happen to us. But in that context, when you read it from like a modern perspective, it's like, it strikes a little different. It doesn't read nearly as technophobic for some reason. To me, it doesn't. I don't know. He's just very complex. Like there's one short story in particular that like literally sits with me forever. And it's called Tomorrow's Child by Ray Bradbury. And it's where like, this birthing machine goes wrong. And what happens is, the child is born into a different dimension than everybody else. And so in our world, he's just like this little like shape, but it's weird. So like, it's a very anti-technology short story on the surface, but like when you actually, but from like a more modern perspective, it reads more like what happens when you use technology wrong, and as opposed to being anti-technology as a whole. It's very interesting. And so I'm a big Ray Bradbury reader. And I was always really big on like Douglas Adams, Neil Gaiman. And I really like Martha Wells a lot. Martha Wells is one of those writers where it's like I read Martha Wells the first time and was like, oh my God, why are you in my head? But then I also find her approach to fantasy in particular to be something that's so different than everybody else, like the books of the Roxura in particular. It's like, oh my God, I want more fantasy like that. Like that's closer to the fantasy I want to write, where it's odd, it's strange and weird, and there's no humans and magic is very odd. It's very like it's a lot closer to what I want from fantasy. And so that's a lot of fun. I'm very weird because I read a lot of sci-fi, but I write fantasy. And so my fantasy, like I primarily write, I write sci-fi as well, but I mean like my big like lore world, like my big like focus, it tends to be fantasy, but I read a lot of sci-fi and I write a lot of sci-fi short stories. And so they sort of like inform the fantasy writing very, very strongly.
Yeah. So it sounds like you have quite a few different right. authors and different specific works from those authors even that had a yeah. really great connection for you.
Right. Like anything that's very like my like also anything that's like very weird, anything that's very weird and theoretical, like my favorite book of all time that I could go down to my shelf and read again and would like it again is Flatland by Edwin Abbott, which is a book about math. It's about theoretical geometry. And it's also a satire in Victorian society. And it's like, it's weird. And I love it. It's my favorite book. And it's the concepts in it inform so much of what I do now. Of this, like, our perception of reality is based on our own limited perception of reality. And oh my God, what else could be out there? And that's all Flatland is. That's what all Flatland is about. But from a mathematical perspective.
Actually sounds pretty interesting. I've never heard of the story before, but
yeah,
it piqued my interest.
It's written, it's a Victorian story. It's written in like 18 something stupid. yeah, I know the premise of Flatland is that it's a society where it's everything is two-dimensional. Like everybody is like a shape. It's like our main character is a square. And his children are like pentagons and his grandchildren are hexagons. and like women are lines, and like there's this whole like Victorian satire on top of it. But what happens is our square meets a sphere who lives in a third dimension. And so our square is trying to process the idea that there's a third dimension out there that he can't conceive. Like he physically can't understand there being like we can't understand there being a fourth dimension. This 2D character can't understand there being a third dimension. And so it's that. It's all math, but like I love it.
That sounds weird.
I love it. It's one of my favorite books. I read it for the first time when I was like 9. My mom's a math and science teacher. So I read it for the first time when I was like 9. And then I've read it probably once every other year since then.
When I say weird, I don't mean that in a bad way. It sounds
Oh
weird.
No, it's excellently weird. It's excellent. There's a movie of it. So if the book isn't quite, it's not a good movie, but it's a movie.
Okay. Well, I think that's an opinion that I share with some of the books that I've read. It's like the movies, it exists. It's a movie.
There's one author in particular. I won't say the actual name. They're very prolific. But I actually prefer the movies of their books over the books themselves. So.
I think I can guess what it is, so it sounds like you've got a lot of wonderful inspirations, and hopefully your work will also be able to inspire other people in the same way. I want to ask you, when it comes to work, is any of it dedicated to anybody?
So I'm in a lot of like online spaces where I meet people who I meet young people lots of times. You don't realize that there are other people like them out there. So I feel like as a whole, like if I had to like pick a group to dedicate work to, it would be like the people out there who don't currently see themselves in the writing that currently exists and who like want something different or like want something new. And it's like, this is for those, this is dedicated to y'all. You know, this is dedicated to people who aren't finding what they want currently in the world of writing, and like maybe mine doesn't quite do it either, but like at least I'm trying.
Yeah, it's at least a nod in that direction,
right?
Even if it doesn't quite fully extend the hand to that specific person,
right?
I can understand that wanting to open up the dialogue towards that, even if, or to provide a space for some of the people, even if it doesn't catch everybody. Because with all writing, you can't really catch everybody in it, right?
Oh, yeah, no, it's impossible.
So even just bits and pieces, having some people connect to it and having the kind of ground be broken for further diversity, so to speak, with writing.
Exactly.
I think that's a wonderful dedication. Do you have going into this, like the smaller writing circles and the lesser known, do you have an indie author that you'd like to tell people about or have people?
I will absolutely take this moment to shout out Amy Campbell, because Amy Campbell, she lives in the same state I do. So there's a connection there. Amy Campbell, I think she just put out the third one or the fourth one. She writes the series. And I love it because it's so different. I've only read the first book, but I'm just waiting. I'm savoring it till I get to the next one. She writes a series that is magical cowboys. They're mage. It's Old West, but they're also mages, and they ride Pegasi as like their horses. And then in addition to that, she also has like non-human species and that kind of stuff. But I love that premise. I absolutely love when someone's like, I'm going to write fantasy and I don't care about the setting. I'm going to do something weird and different with the setting. I'm not just going to be Eurocentric. I'm going to do something different. And I love her characters, and I love, one of her main characters is an asexual character, which I, oh my God, like you don't see that very often, but he's not just asexual. He's also in a romantic relationship with another man. So it's like he is ace, but he's in a romantic relationship and he's not like this kind of like robotic character. So like, you know, she's ace like I'm ace. And so it's like we both have like this. So she knows what she's doing, basically. And I can read it and be like, oh, my God, I love this guy. And I absolutely love this series. The book is called Breaker. That's the first book. It's called Breaker. And then the other books are called other things. That's the Outlaw Mage series by Amy Campbell, who I hope she does more after this series. We'll see. I don't think she even knows. We talk sometimes.
Oh, nice. You're in touch.
Yeah, it's book TikTok, the TikTok reader writer community. It's really easy to be like, oh my God, I loved your book. Oh my God, a reader? Hi. And so yeah, we've talked a couple of times. Because we also live in the same state, and so there's always a possibility that we're actually gonna meet in person someday. Who knows? So I'm trying to be friends.
Yeah, I think that'd be exciting. Y'all can meet up, talk about it.
Completely different parts of the state, and it's Texas, so you know.
Oh yeah, Texas is.
Yeah, it's how huge. but yeah.
That's a journey in and of itself.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I think that's a wonderful note to leave it off on. Thank you, Ash, for talking with me today and for being on the Writer's Triangle. And congratulations again on being the winner for the Center of Moth Literary Collections Prize for Short Storytelling.
Yeah, Ash, absolutely excited.
Can you tell us where we can find you on social media?
Yes. So my website is pixelsandpins.com, which is P-I-X-E-L-S, pixels and pins, P-I-N-S. .com, and that has links to like all my writing and like where you can find my short stories and where you can find my games, where you can find my serials and that kind of good stuff. And then all my social media is that same handle, Pixels and Pins, and that'd be Twitter. The ones I'm active on right now are Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. I used to be more active on other ones, but maybe I will in the future, who knows. That's where you can find me, that's where you can track me down. That's where all my stuff gets linked to eventually.
Wonderful. And for all of our listeners, be sure to visit CinnabarMoth.com or CinnabarMothLiteraryCollections.com and check out the transcripts there. We'll also have the link to Ash's social media. Thank you to all of our beautiful moths for listening, and bye-bye.
All right.